Praise the Lord. Good morning. Our text today is Exodus 21, verses 12 through 36. And the name of the sermon that we're going to look at today is called An Eye for an Eye, A Tooth for a Tooth, Justice and Mercy. Today we often hear unbelievers quoting the Bible. It seems they love to quote the Bible when it benefits them. It's one of the first things heard in open evangelism. Not so much on one-on-one evangelism, but open evangelism, it's one of the first things heard when one witnesses to another about their lives before God, especially when we mention sin and sin in their lives. The first thing you hear out of their mouth is, "Judge not, lest you be judged." And that's from Matthew 7, 1 through 3. It seems many people know that text. In other words, who are you to judge me? You better watch out. Another text often heard by unbelievers is this. We hear from them when they have been wronged from another is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In other words, they want justice for what they have been wronged about. In our text today, in chapter 21, verse 24, we see where this second text that people love to address is first mentioned in the Bible. It's in a section that started in chapter 21 and will end in chapter 23. This whole section that we're in right now flows from the Ten Commandments as they were given in chapter 20. They all flow out of it. In this section, we see what many call a collection of case laws flowing from the Ten Commandments. It gives examples of how the Israelites are to apply God's law in their lives, in situations that they will find themselves in the desert, and especially as they enter the land. And people have classified the Ten Commandments as the moral law. And what follows in these three chapters that we're in right now, many call the civil law or the civil laws of Israel. And then the third area is naturally the ceremonial laws that we see mentioned mainly in Leviticus. Now, if you hold to these descriptions, there is overlap between the moral law and the civil law. We're not going to get into that. Now, while these civil laws are specifically for the nation of Israel, there is much wisdom to glean from this text and what we'll see in the next couple of texts. There are many principles that we can draw out as believers today from the civil laws that were given to Israel. In chapter 20, God gave Israel the fifth and sixth commandments. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And the sixth commandment, simply, thou shalt not kill. As our text opens up, it digs into these first two commandments in chapter 21, verses 12 through 17. We see them brought out. So, brethren, let's read our text from verses 12 to 17, at least the first section, and then we'll lift up a short prayer to the Lord, please. So, open up Exodus 21, verse 12. Whoever strikes a man, so he dies. So that he dies, he shall be put to death. But if he did not lie in wait for him, but God let him fall into his hands, then I will appoint for you a place to which he may flee. But if a man willfully attacks another to kill him by cunning, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Whoever steals a man and sells him, and anyone found in his possession of him, shall he be put to death. Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. Let's ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord, we know that all scripture is God-breathed and profitable. May you open our eyes, Lord, so that we would have We would learn from your text today. We would learn what you would have us learn today. Not only learn, but also apply these things to our lives as we grow in grace. Lord, we plead for your help. Help us, Lord. Help us seek your face. Help us to draw closer to you. Lord, you are righteous. You are just. You are merciful in all your ways. And Lord, lastly, we give you the glory and the honor that is due to you. Amen. In these verses, we see God's desire for how his people are to live their lives in situations that will face them. They are not just haphazardly given to Israel. These laws are not just haphazardly given to Israel, but they are a reflection of who God is, and especially his righteousness. Now, God has many attributes. In other words, attributes means who he is, what makes up his being. But two main attributes shine brightly from this text. First is God's justice. God's justice. And we know from 2 Thessalonians 1:6, God is just. It's who he is. And being he is just, his justice shall prevail, and he will punish sin. Justice and righteousness are many times translated identical in the Bible. But we also see the other attribute in our text. It shines brightly from our text, and that's God's mercy. He is a merciful God. He has mercy on those whom he will have mercy on. We see that in Psalm 145, verse 8. This word is often translated in our versions as grace or gracious. He is gracious and he is merciful. Two attributes of God that seem incompatible. They seem like they can't go together. How can he be just and his justice prevail and yet be merciful? They seem incompatible to us. Justice involves, brethren, dispensing judgment for one who has wronged God. And mercy is almost the exact opposite. It's about pardoning and compassion for the offender. But both justice and mercy are equally parts of God. They are equally who he is and form unity within the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. So let's look at justice and mercy as it's within our text. Justice and mercy as revealed in our text. That's going to be the two hover points, the two positions. Justice is first seen as this text opens up in verse 12. It says, whoever strikes a man so that he dies shall be put to death. And brethren, this is not a new commandment that we see in Scripture. This is not a new commandment at all. Way back in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, when God was speaking to Noah and to all peoples of the earth, it says, way back then it says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his image. And this is based way back on Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It says there, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So both men and women have this special relationship with God. We have this special relationship with the Lord out of all of his creation. We were originally created in his image. That's mind-blowing. And as we saw again stated by the Lord, as we met in chapter 20, God gave Israel a law, and he stated it simply, thou shall not kill. You shall not murder. You shall not murder your brother. You shall not murder your sister. You shall not murder your neighbor. If you do so, our text today says, justice shall be met. Justice shall be served. Whoever strikes a man so that he dies, shall he be put to death. And what we see here is an application of the sixth commandment. An application applied to the sixth commandment. You murder, you kill another, you pay the penalty. You will be put to death yourself. Justice will be applied, and you shall die. It's generally stated in verse 12. It's a general statement in verse 12 that one who kills another, you shall die. But verse 13, we see something else. The situation is clarified that not all killings are the same in the sense of punishment. Not all killings are the same in the sense of punishment. Some are not premeditated. In other words, planned out. That word simply means it's not planned out. They happen. It says there in verse 13, but if he did not lie in wait for him, in other words, if he didn't plan it, but God let him fall into his hands, then I will appoint for you a place to which he may flee to. Now, while our text doesn't elaborate further, we can see examples of how this can take place in our lives. A death may occur accidentally, and it happens all the time. Me, as I was in the construction business, I've heard more than a few times deaths occurring. A man may be working on a construction site. He's up high on a high rise, and something falls from that high rise and kills a man. He didn't plan for that to happen, but one died. Verse 13 lays a way out for these situations. It says, the Lord in his providence will appoint cities. And it also says that the Lord allowed this to happen. Another situation we see all the time as we're on the road, driving. Driving accidents of various sorts. Anyone who has driven for a long enough time, you have seen these things on the road. Accidents are the leading causes of deaths in the U.S., driving accidents. And in many of these cases, they're not malicious. They weren't planned. They happen. In verse 13, the Lord's mercy is manifested when the death was not planned. The Lord says, if he didn't lie in wait, if he didn't plan this, then I will appoint a place that you may flee to. And we see this, if you want to look in Numbers 35, or just listen to the text, Numbers 35 speaks of these places. As they entered the land, the Lord provided cities of refuge where one could flee to, as we see in Numbers chapter 35, verses 11 and 12. It says there, you shall select cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills another person without intent, without purposefully doing so, wanting to do so, that they may flee there. The city shall be for you a refuge from the avenger. And the manslayer, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. So he just doesn't, the Lord just doesn't allow someone to go to these cities of refuge, but the elders will judge, was he innocent or was he not? But if one killed another with intent, then he would die, as verse 14 clarifies. It says, but if a man willfully attacks, purposefully attacks another to kill him, by cunning you shall take him from my altar that he may die. Both justice and mercy are set forth by the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When one kills another purposefully, he shall die. And we see justice will prevail. If no intent, the Lord's mercy is manifested, as we see in these opening verses. Then we see another situation based on the fifth commandment in chapter 21, verses 15 and 17. The fifth commandment is simply honor your father and your mother. Two situations or cases are brought forth. The first one is in verse 15. It says, whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Now, on first read, that seems pretty harsh. That seems pretty harsh to us. But the word here, strike, in the original language, conveys an attack with great force. This is not no normal tap. You might see it's a child hit someone, their father in love. This is a strike with intent to kill. We see the same word in verse 12. It says there, whoever strikes a man, same word, so that he dies, shall be put to death. Now, if one struck a man and they didn't die, death was not called for, as we see. But if one strikes their parents, in our text, with such a blow, a provision is made. That one shall be put to death. And we got to remember, God made marriage and ordained the family unit. And God thinks highly of it. He has placed a high penalty for Israel for such an attack on a parent. The Lord declared to Israel, honor your father and your mother, and he meant it. And he meant it, as we see in verse 15. But we see something similar in verse 17. Here it says, whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. Again, seems harsh. What those curses are, our text does not elaborate on. But it makes clear the penalty is death for such a one. And then sandwiched between verse 15 and 16, we talked about this last act, is another crime, as we were speaking on slavery last time. There's another crime that deserves the death penalty. When one steals another person to sell them, this form of human slavery is punishable by death. So with those opening verses in our text, what can we glean from these things for us today in the body of Christ? Now, while these laws, as I mentioned before, were specifically given to the nation of Israel, they were to be their civil laws, there are many principles we can learn and apply to our lives. First of all, the Lord holds those who kill one made in his image. It's a great offense against God himself and is punishable by death. Remember, Genesis 9:6, this is at a time when Israel was not a nation. It's a text given to Noah, but also applies to all nations. It says there, whoever sheds blood of a man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his image. Brethren, we and our neighbors are image bearers of the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. No matter how fallen we are, this text holds for all people, for all nations. God gave this command to all peoples and all nations. And just this morning, I glanced at the news, and they had a little spot on about Mexico. Mexico, the president said that they're voting for the presidency, and all other, you know, I don't know how their government is, but they're voting today for their president. And they brought up the fact that from January until today, there was 20,500 murders in Mexico. And that's without people who are missing. There's thousands upon thousands missing they never found. 20,500 murders in 6 months. And people held up, I'm blessed that I've seen this in a sense. People held up signs, and the signs said in Spanish, justice! They wanted justice. Now, I don't want to debate capital punishment. That's not what I'm here to do. But the Lord is telling us something here. The point is, if all human beings looked at other human beings being made in God's image, if we looked upon our neighbors, our friends, our families, and even our enemies as being made in God's image, there would be a change. That wouldn't stop all murders, of course. We live in a society with fallen human beings, but I'd imagine it would stop most. But sadly, fallen man and nations are pressing ever forward that lie of what? Evolution. That we evolved from lower animals. And even if you think about it, we evolved from slime. They're pressing this lie. It makes killing another human being just killing an animal. Life holds no value today. So if we could just grasp that we are all image bearers of God, your friends, your family, your neighbors, and even your enemies, I think things would be different. But as we see in our text and throughout Scripture, this is not so, as they're teaching. This is not so. We are made in God's image. And the Lord holds high regard, that place of those made in his image. Brethren, may you never forget this truth. Never forget this truth that we are all made in God's image. Fallen, but nevertheless image bearers. Yes, we call for justice where justice is called for, but show mercy as the Lord does. Show mercy. Jesus did so when the crowd called for the execution of the woman caught in adultery in John 8. What did Jesus do? Jesus showed her mercy and told her what? Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. And just briefly, the second principle here of honoring your parents, honoring our parents, and even those placed in above us in authority. Brethren, give honor when honor is due. Give honor when honor is due. Anyone who is a parent, anyone who is a parent or even looked after another, knows what a tough task that is to be a parent. You never realize it until you care for another or you care for your own children. Amen? And our second section deals with crimes against others. Physical attacks against others that do not result in death. Let's read verses 18 through 27 in our second section. Brethren, this is the text, and we have to address them. We can't skip over anything. Verse 18. When men quarrel and one strikes the other with a stone or his fist, and the man does not die but takes to his bed, then if a man rises again and walks outdoors with his staff, he who struck him shall be clear. Only he shall pay for the loss of the time of his time, and shall have him thoroughly healed, and shall have him thoroughly healed. In other words, see that he gets through his illness that you have put upon him. When a man strikes his slave, male or female, with a rod, and the slave dies under his hand, he shall be avenged. But if the slave survives a day or two, and he is not to be avenged, for the slave is his money. When men strive together, and they hit a pregnant woman so that her children comes out, but there is no harm, the one who hit her shall surely be fined. In other words, he'll pay. As the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. When a man strikes the eye of his slave, male or female, and destroys it, he shall let the slave go free because of his eye. If he knocks out the tooth of the slave, male or female, he shall let the slave go free because of his tooth. Now, there's much going on in this section, but without getting into every aspect of these cases or these situations, there are recurring themes that we see in this section, and that's what we'll zone in on. There's recurring themes in this situation. We see it throughout. First, it's justice for all, both slave and free. It's equality for everyone who has been wronged. But secondly, it's also restitution paid for the one who was wrong. Restitution simply means you're going to compensate that person. You will compensate them for what you have done to them. If it's two men fighting, if it's a slave or an innocent pregnant woman, justice is to be applied, and it's to be applied equally to all. If one is hurt in a fight and survives, but is bedridden, the one who struck him is to pay for his loss of time and make sure he is healed. Make sure he is healed. Justice and restitution is made. When an innocent pregnant woman is hit, as two people are fighting, when an innocent woman is hit, if the child comes out and it doesn't die, the man shall pay as the husband and the judges demand. In other words, restitution is to be made. If a baby or the woman dies, like the slave in verse 20, then verse 12 prevails. Death is called for. And then in verse 23, we see that text. It gives us that well-known text that I quoted in the intro. Verse 23. If there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Now, whatever's behind how people use this text, how people use this, the unbelievers use this text, the principle is clear. Justice shall prevail, but equity is the name of the game. Justice shall prevail, but equity is the name of the game. Judgment shall fit the crime. Now, whether this justice is met literally, in other words, you hurt someone, you take out someone's eye and they take out your eye, or the principle is applied differently, maybe a payment, the bottom line is simply justice shall be met. And this is the key. I know this is a hard text, brethren. It's a hard text to sit under, and it was a hard text for me to go through. But here's the key here. While the punishment was sometimes carried out by the victim, we'll see this in other sections, sometimes the victim himself carried out the punishment. The trial and the sentence was always carried out by judges or elders. Key. While justice is met, it is to be done civilly. In other words, handed down by the elders or the judges. Follow me. But as time went on in Israel's history, the rabbinical leaders perverted this. They perverted this law. They turned this law into a personal license for revenge. They turned this law into a personal license for revenge. They made this law a shamble as they did the law in general. Turn to Matthew 5. This, among other things, is what Jesus addresses in Matthew chapter 5. And if we think back, just take a step back, remember, the Lord's command for the individual has always been the same. What the Lord wants from us individually has always been the same. We see this in Proverbs 25, verse 21. It says there, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. Now, although justice is to be handed out, as individuals, brethren, we are always to show mercy. We ourselves are always to show mercy. We see Jesus do this very thing in the New Testament. Turn to Matthew 5, verse 38. Jesus calls us to show mercy even when we are wronged. Jesus quotes the verse right there in Exodus 21, verse 23, in the Sermon on the Mount. And remember, brethren, Jesus is not condoning evil in the world. He's not condoning evil. He's not going against his word that he's a just God. Not doing that. He's not condoning evil in the world or upon us, but stressing mercy. He's stressing love and compassion. Matthew 5, verse 38. It says, you have heard it said, back in Exodus 21, 23, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn him the other also. And in this day, a slap was like, you got slapped by someone. That was like, it took your manhood away almost. It was very, not looked upon as something you want. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn him the other also. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Though the Lord was giving Israel laws that they were to live by as a nation, we can draw some principles from these laws for us today. And the principle is simply, justice will prevail. justice will prevail, but we as individuals are to show mercy when under attack, Show mercy when one is in need. Show mercy when one asks you to walk a mile, walk 2 miles with them. When one pleads with you, show mercy. And even when one is in need monetarily, show mercy, show love and compassion as the Lord calls you to do so. Hasn't the Lord shown you much mercy? Hasn't the Lord shown you much mercy? He's shown me much mercy. It's one of the first words out of my mouth in prayer. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. And I say, he has. I know many of you, I know your stories. He has shown you mercy. By the Lord's grace, he has put in office those who are above us, those above us. It was so in Israel's time, it was so in the apostles' time, and it's so in our time. To settle and to bring justice to those who have wronged us. Civil magistrates, the Lord has put civil magistrates to sort these things out. We may not always agree with the conclusion or see the big picture of what God is doing, but trust, brethren, that the Lord is in control. Amen? Trust that the Lord is in control. Brethren, let the Lord repay those who have wronged you, either through civil magistrates or by him providentially. Let the Lord do that. But we as a people of God are to show mercy, even to your enemy, as hard as that may be. It's the Lord's will for your life and my life individually. As Jesus said, turn the cheek, give them the shirt off your back. When forced to go a mile, walk another mile. Give to those in need, expecting nothing in return. Can I get an amen? Our text ends in chapter 21, verses 28 through 30 through 36, with cases or situations we may be in, or Israel may be in, concerning things that they are responsible for. As the Israelites' case, it's an ox. An ox was all important to the people of this time. It was the truck, the taxi, you know, it was everything. So let's read our end of our text. It says in verse 28, when an ox gores a man or a woman to death, that ox shall be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten. But the owner of the ox shall not be liable. But if the ox has been accustomed to gore in the past, and its owner has been warned, but has not kept it in, and it kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. If a ransom is imposed on him, then he shall give for the redemption of his life whatever is imposed on him. If it gores a man's son or daughter, he shall be put to death. He shall be dealt with according to the same rule. If the ox gores a slave, male or female, the owner shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. Verse 33. When a man opens up a pit, or when a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall make restitution. He shall give money to its owner, and the dead beast shall be his. When one man's ox butts another so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and share its price, and the dead beast also shall share. Or if it is known that the ox has been accustomed to gore in the past, and its owner has not kept it in, he shall repay ox for ox, and the dead beast shall be his. Again, we see themes. I'm not going to get into all of these situations that's going on here. Again, we see themes of justice, mercy, equality, and restitution. If an ox kills a man, remember, made in the image of God, it shall be killed, and it'll be unclean. They won't even be able to eat the thing. If the ox's owner knew it, in other words, maliciously kept this ox out, the ox would be killed, and so would he be killed, the one who wronged. Justice, again, was accomplished. Whether it was an ox or a man, justice was fulfilled. But here, there's another way one could pay for their crime. We see this in verse 30. There's an exception made for the man's life in verse 30. And this is wonderful. In verse 30, it says, if a ransom is imposed on him, then he shall give for the redemption of his life whatever is imposed upon him. Two key words, ransom, and the second one, redemption. The Lord, in his mercy, makes an exception to the death sentence, either for the man's life or the ox's. However this is brought about by the elders or the one who has been wronged, the Lord says a ransom can be imposed for the redemption of his life. In other words, a price can be paid for the life of the accused. We see this in seed form way back in Genesis 22. We see this in seed form where a lamb took the place of Isaac on Mount Moriah. We saw this recently in the Passover when we looked at that text where the blood of the sacrificial lamb was placed on the doorpost. The lamb was sacrificed and the blood was placed on the doorpost. And those inside were saved, specifically Israel's firstborn from the death by the angel. Later we see this in the once a year sacrificial lamb for the sins of Israel. This is spoken about in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 34. In other words, there's a penalty for sin. There's a penalty for sin, but it's paid for by another. In this case, a lamb. Its life was taken. It was taken in the place of Israel's sin. The lamb was the ransom, and redemption was accomplished. But there's a problem. There's a problem here. It wasn't permanent. It needed to be paid for every year. Every year that ransom had to be repaid and repaid and repaid. And brethren, this wonderfully, as you can imagine, points to a time in Israel's future and our past. It points to something that happened, something wonderful that happened in the fullness of time. Turn to Galatians 4. Galatians 4, it points to something wonderful that happened in the fullness of time. That's a biblical phrase, the fullness of time. Paul spoke about this time, this fullness of time in Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. He says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the Lord, to do what? To redeem those who were under the law, and the curse of the law, I may add, that we might receive adoption by sons. When the Lord of all took on the form of a man, born of a woman, fully man and fully God, and when his earthly ministry was coming to an end, we see justice and mercy met at the cross. Justice and mercy met at the cross of Christ. Brethren, sin must be paid for. As we see in our text, for justice to be met, sin had to be paid for. Sin must be paid for justice to be met. Sin was paid fully by the sinless Savior for his people. No one but the sinless Savior could pay that price. 1 Peter 1, chapter 2, verse 22, Peter declares, Jesus committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Contrasting the high priest of Israel and Jesus, it says in Hebrews 4:14, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. The importance, brethren, of sin, of Jesus' sinless nature is described in this way. Now let me quote from R.C. Sproul. The importance of Jesus' sinless nature is described this way. It says, or R.C. said, the sinlessness of Christ does not merely serve as an example to us. It is fundamental and necessary for our salvation. Had Christ not been the Lamb without blemish, in other words, sinless, he not only could not have secured anyone's salvation, but would have needed a Savior himself if he was sinful. And then it ends with this. The multiple sins Christ bore on the cross required a perfect sacrifice, a perfect ransom to apply a perfect redemption. That sacrifice had to be made by one who was sinless, as only Jesus was. It was a once-for-all sacrifice, a once-for-all payment, a once-for-all ransom that was made on our behalf. We see that in Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 8 through 10. Jesus paid the ransom. He paid the price for our sins on the cross. It says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says this. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many. Amen? A ransom that he could only pay, that he could only purchase. He paid for it with his sinless blood on the cross at Calvary. And when he paid the ransom, he redeemed a people for himself. He redeemed us by bearing our sin. Galatians 3:13 says, he redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Doing so, brethren, redemption is accomplished. It is finished. Paul in Ephesians 1, verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace and his mercy. Brethren, justice and mercy met at the cross. Praise God. Justice and mercy met at the cross. Justice was met by the sinless Savior. He paid the price. Mercy, and the outcome of that is mercy was granted to his people. Amen. The debt we owe for our sin was paid for on that day. Although we were condemned, we are just as condemned as one who kills another. Although we are condemned by our sins against God, don't matter how bad you are, we are condemned and deserve to pay the penalty of hell, to live in hell forever. That's the penalty we deserve, forever. Jesus, the Lord of all, the King of Kings, had mercy on us. He had mercy on us through his love, through his kindness, through his grace and mercy. We have been redeemed. We have been saved. Brethren, that is the good news. That is the gospel. Hallelujah. That is the good news. How can you be anything but overjoyed over that? Whatever your problems are, all things pale in comparison to that good news. Amen? But before we close, maybe you don't know that good news, or you question these things. Maybe you never heard or thought through the consequences that sin, that involves sin in your life. The penalty that's demanded from each of us for our sin. Now, I spoke about the good news, and it is good. But there's also bad news. If you're not trusting Christ as your Savior, you're not trusting Jesus as Lord of all, if you never repented of your sin against God, if you've never done this, justice will be met. Justice will be met, but it'll be applied to you. You will bear the penalty on that day. The Bible says the penalty is everlasting punishment in hell. The question is, do you want justice to be met in that way? Do you want justice to be met in that manner? I hope not. Or will you trust in Christ and in Christ alone for your salvation? The Bible simply calls on you to repent, turn from your sins, and turn to Christ so that His mercy may be applied to you. That grace, His grace would cover your sin. Please, friend, turn to Him who alone can save you, that you may say, justice has been accomplished on the cross for my sin, that it has been granted on this very day by His grace, through faith, and in Christ alone. Amen? Let's pray. Father, may there not be one here who is not saved or whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. May we never take for granted, Lord, that we are all made in Your image and that You are just and merciful. You are a just and merciful God who has fulfilled all the commands of the Lord, of the law, the only one who could ever do so. Thank You, Lord, for Your word, for Your spirit in our lives. May we be ever grateful unto You in all ways. In the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, amen.